Well, good morning again, everyone. Pray everyone is doing great. I'm excited to be back. All went well. And in fact, a whole lot better than I thought it would be. So God's good. Thank you for your prayers. You know, in this time, the Lord has given me such hope in this church. And you know, sometimes, many of us at times, we fail to see the blessings that God is using us for and doing in us. See, a lot of times we gauge it by, we should be filling up. Where's all the people? You know? And when it doesn't seem to fill and go that way, and we don't have maybe great numbers, that doesn't mean God's not working in us. You know, I think we need to be happy and praise God, even if we stayed the same and never grew one person. Amen? Shouldn't we be content in whatever state we're in? And God is doing a lot of teaching with all of us. And we're having results. You know, we're starting to pray for people more and speak things into existence. The Lord brought my daughter in, and she shared about healing. And she's a lot longer-winded than I am, if you noticed. But anyway, I talked to her the other day, and I told her, I said, you know, Sherry, we may not have seen a lot of people healed instantly when you were there. But I said, they're still getting healed. And we just heard another one this morning. So folks, that's how our God works. You know, we need faith to believe and trust God for what we ask for, and to believe that he really does care for us in every way. So I'd like to just proclaim over this church right now that sicknesses and disease will not come in our congregation. That pain, we've got my dear sister back here who has a toothache that is causing problems on the whole side of her face, and yet she determined, I'm going to church. And then they're going to minister this afternoon, taking the Lord's Supper to people. Folks, that's what it's all about. And I say in Jesus' name, sickness and disease will have no place in this body. It may hide at the door, but it won't come in the building. Amen? So, Lord, I just thank you for that right now. We're going to see lots of things done, lots of people healed. I talked to Chris this morning. I said, Chris, how you doing? And Chris said, oh, he said, every once in a while, I got to pinch myself. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Come on, I'll pray for you now if I have to. And I said, why do you have to pinch yourself? Oh, he says, because I'm so happy. I'm like, wow, I like that. So that's the attitude to have. But anyway, God is good. He wants to bless us. He's going to bless us. And what he's having me do now, I believe, is turn with me while I'm talking here, if you would, to John's Gospel, St. John, chapter 15. We're going to talk about the true vine. But, you know, God is really wanting to do great things here, and he's got me on a track, I believe, to deal with some sensitive issues, maybe. I don't want to scare you with that, but, you know, people have different beliefs. You'll probably hear some of mine, but if you don't believe my way, it's okay. I know there's a lot of people that are wrong, and I'm okay with that. But anyway, you weigh the scriptures, you search, and you dig, you pray. And ask God. I think this stuff is really important rather than just say, oh, well, I believe this or that. Well, why? Why do you believe it? Oh, that's what I've been taught, and that's just where I'm at. Well, it's like, learn it for yourself. Dig it out. And it'll help you. Why would you want to really bet eternity? Y'all know how long eternity is? We have no idea. We know what it says, but we have no idea how long eternity is. It's forever and ever and ever and ever, and it never will change. Things change on earth. Every year we get a little older. Children get married. Our children have children. Things change all the time. Jobs change. Different situations. It all changes all the time. But in eternity, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And so I think it's important to really know for sure. So I'm just going to share some things. And I hope you search a lot of this out so that you understand and that you truly understand and believe what God is trying to tell you in His Word. Amen? So, but first of all, did you know this? Did you know that Jesus spoke in the book of John 7 I Ams? Did y'all know that? He spoke 7 I Ams. And one is, it's in John chapter 6. It says, He said, I'm the bread of life. Then He said, I'm the light of the world. That's in John 8. Then He says, I'm the door or the gate. That's John 10. Here's another one for John 10. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life, John 11. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. And then, of course, what we're looking at today, John 15, it says in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Will you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would just open us up to your word. Father, as the two men that received later after Jesus' resurrection, they had the Lord's Supper with him and Jesus presented it. And it says the eyes of their understanding were open and their hearts burned. And Father, I pray that you would do that with us today. As we hear your word and as your Holy Spirit presents it, that would truly inspire us, give us hope. It would just enlighten us. And Lord, in the knowledge that we gain from your word today, Lord, that it would make our hearts burn as yours burns for us. So I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John 15, I just want to kind of go almost verse by verse here. Jesus makes a declaration that he is the vine. And I think this emphasizes his role as our source. He's our spiritual sustenance. He's our guidance, protection. He's our resurrection. He's our truth. And he's our life. Without him, we wouldn't have it. So, I am the true vine, and my Father then is the vine dresser. So, Jesus identifies himself and indicates really his ability, his source that he is to us in our lives, in our spiritual life. And we got to realize that Jesus is our nourishment. Folks, we get down and out, we start hurting and stuff. Do you run to Jesus? Man, I want to go and spend time with the Lord. And it helps. It helps to revive us, to give us again strength. And then it says the Father is a vine dresser. He tends to the vine and its branches. He tends to Jesus and to us. Just as a vine dresser cares for the vine, for the vines to ensure their produce, their fruit, God cares for us. He nourishes us and guides us in our spiritual growth. Now, as I was studying in this, I kind of thought, Lord, why the fruit? Why are you so interested in us producing fruit? You know what I mean? Have you ever thought of that? And I'm like, what's going on with that? You know, I didn't quite grasp what the Lord was really trying to do. It's like, you know, you get saved, do the best you can, I guess, you know, live good lives, attend church. But you're saying producing fruit, we got to produce fruit. There's going to be pruning and different things take place so that we can produce even more. And I'm like, wow. But here's what the Lord showed me. Number one, what fruit does. It says, by this my Father is glorified. That's in John 15:8. So bearing fruit glorifies the Father. Number two, it shows evidence of relationship. You know, if we don't produce fruit, we don't change, we can't love people, we can't do some of the things. It's like, who are you following? What's in your heart? Do you ever know you can listen to people and then you can even watch how people act to situations and you can tell where their heart is. You can tell them whether they're really on fire for the Lord or are not so on fire. Amen? Can't you do that? And it's not that we're judging and condemning. That's how we realize where people are. What their relationship is to the Lord. So it reflects the transformative power of Jesus in our lives. And the Word does say, in Matthew 7:16, it says, you will know them by their fruits. Amen? So number three, fulfillment of purpose. Do y'all know that we're called to a purpose? Y'all think, well, I just get saved and I'm going to walk with the Lord and I'm going to be a member of his church and do what I know that I can do to the best of my ability. And that's all I can do. But see, we've got to realize that we're called to a purpose. God didn't save you just to warm a pew. You know what I mean? He really didn't. He says, I know what you can do because I'm going to do it through you. I've gifted you. I've given you the power. Now, if you want more power, you know where to go to get more. You know what to do. Spend more time with the Lord in study. I look for all of this stuff. I try to get closer to the Lord. The power to me is I don't care what people think of me necessarily, that I could pray for somebody and they're healed. It used to be that way. But now I want to pray for somebody because they're hurting and I want them healed, just like Jesus wants them healed. You know what I'm saying? It's not for ego. It's not to look good. It's not to make people think differently or better of me. I could care less about any of that anymore. What I care about is hurting people. When you come in with a toothache and your whole side of your face is hurting you, you come and you play the guitar and try to lead singing when you can't hardly talk and you got a cold. Folks, that's commitment. And I got to pray for them. See, that's what it's all about. That's what that is all about. We're all called to a purpose. Each believer has a divine purpose. They have a call on their life. You know, when I look at that, that I have a purpose, it means that I'm important to God. I'm not just an everybody, anybody off the street. I'm special. Nobody else may think so. And that's okay. But I know God thinks I'm special. And therefore, I'll walk special. Amen? I'll trust God. I'll pray for people. Even though I don't see anything happen, doesn't matter, because it can happen later. Just like we've seen with the healing thing that we had a couple of Sundays ago. People are still getting healed. It's what it's all about. When you got a wayward son or you got a problem issue, that you can pray. God's placed it in your heart that you can learn to trust him, that you can speak things into existence, that you can get the devil out of somebody's life, out of their finances, open them up to a good job. They need a job, you know? And I'm kind of like, once I pray for it, I pray as sincere as I know how to pray for something. After that, I won't pray about it again. What I do when I think about it and the Lord brings that up to me, what I do is I thank God for it. Lord, thank you for that health. Thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with them right now. Thank you, Lord, because you said to ask and we'll receive. Amen? So we got to learn how to really speak and realize that we're special and God hears you because you're special. Kathy and Jack, with all that they've gone through, and God took good care of them. But we prayed for you guys, and we trusted God. And it wasn't this doubt, oh, well, are they going to make it? You know? It was like, no, God, we prayed. Thank you, Lord. They'll be back with us stronger than ever. Folks, we've got to realize, though, that we have a purpose. We have a calling. All of you have a calling. Thank God you're not called to preach. Amen? Then I wouldn't have a place. Because I know you would do it a whole lot better than I do. So I don't like the competition. But you have a calling. You have a purpose in life. You just fulfill it. It's something you like to do, and it pretty well comes natural. And when it gets hard, that's when you dig in and you pray about it and you learn how to trust God for it. Amen? We've all faced hard times, and we've come through it. Number four, for discipline and growth. God's pruning reflects his loving correction and discipline, which is for our spiritual maturity. Folks, when you see things going on in people's lives, I see a lot of times, you know, Christians who are trusting God, they pray, they're faithful, they're doing things, and you see them going through hard things, hard trials. I just thank God because he's trying to take them to the next level. He says, I've got more for you, but I've got to prepare you. I've got to get you a little stronger that you know that you can really trust me in it, that you'll learn how to pray, that you learn how to just speak it into existence as I've given you power to do. So he prepares us. You know, people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, could be the enemy's attack, but the Lord uses him anyway, right? He's just a servant of the Lord sometimes. He doesn't know it. but he's there to grow us, to protect us. He prunes that we can grow and produce more faith and fruit. Folks, there's people out in the world, they need you. They need you. They don't know where to turn. They don't know if God even really cares for them at all. In fact, most of them think God's angry at them. So he needs us to go and to speak to those. You're going to see people that I'll never see. And even if I did, I wouldn't be able to minister to them like you could. They were all called to a purpose. God works with us, trying to get us positioned to where he can even use us more. See, that's producing fruit. And that's what it's all about. We're here not just for us. That's past. We've received Jesus, man. We've got it all now. And now says, now I want to use you for others. You're going to be my blessing to them. That's what I've called you for. That's what I've worked with you for. I've positioned you for this. And only you can do it that way. The Lord's just given me such hope. Just, boy, God is just so good. There's so much that he wants to do in our lives. Now, let's go back to John 15 and verse 2. Well, we kind of touched on that, didn't we? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He said, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, cuts off, he takes away. I've heard preachers, I was kind of searching some of this out on YouTube, seeing some messages, and there's a lot of messages on chapter 15 here. And they said in a lot of the translation, this being cut off or taken away means lifted up. And that could be true. But I don't know if I'd ever use the language, I'll cut you off, you know, and then that meaning I'm going to love you and lift you up. Now, that's part of the pruning, I think, where God moves things and does things. But even those branches that don't produce, that may be cut off later, you know, God deals with them. Thank God he deals with them. He's dealt with me on so many things. And he didn't just cut me off and throw me away because I messed up. See, he doesn't do that. That's why I've been in churches before that people would get saved every week. I'm like, what? You can only really get saved once, folks. It's just a one-time deal. Does Jesus need to come back and do it all over again just for you? See, people think if they mess up that they lose God, they lose their salvation. Now they're on their way to hell. So now I got to get reset. That's not true. God deals with you. Folks, I can remember one time I got so angry at God. I don't remember what it was about, but I was done. I said, I'm done. God, I'm done. I've had enough. And so we went on vacation when we went to Missouri, and while we were there, I don't know how long I was in the state, but I was so depressed and hurt, angry, and frustrated. You've probably never had that, but I did. And so we went on vacation. And I met my cousin down there, And they were going to this big church. And he said, you know, Jim, he said, there's this big name evangelist coming to the church. And they had thousands of members. It was a big church. He said, would you like to go and hear him? I said, well, yeah, I don't know what good it's going to do because I really don't want to do a lot of this. But I said, yeah, I'll go. Are you going? He said, yeah, I'll meet you there. I said, all right. So we went. He didn't. So here we are all by ourselves. This guy comes and preaches. And you know, every word he preached was for me. You see, God didn't cut me off. He didn't throw me away and say, you loser. He didn't cut me off. He let me ponder and bleed and agonize in my misery. Sometimes we just like to be miserable. You know what I mean? That's why we try to feel sorry for ourselves a lot, I believe. But see, God let me there for a while, but then he took me to a place where he could revive me again. And so I thank God for that. And that's why I say, don't think that God's just going to cut you off because you've made a mistake. He won't do that. He loves you too much. There's always a second chances. But when you get to where, when you're cut off, I want to tell you, the devil doesn't even really want you. You're so bad. Because you're hateful. And so many other things that go on that God says, I kind of like Judas. Jesus talked to Judas so much. He would tell him different things and give him responsibilities. He carried all the money, even though Jesus knew he stole most of it. Jesus worked with him, but yet Judas would not turn. He would not give his heart to the Lord. He just couldn't see it. He couldn't do it. It wasn't probably that he was such a mean or bad person, but he was just determined. He had his own agenda. He would not open to the Lord. And the Lord kept telling him, man, he said, the guy that betrays me, he's going to even hate that he was even born. Right over Judas's head. And of course, we know what happened. Later, what did he do? He couldn't even face anybody trying to get help for forgiveness or anything like that. He went and hung himself. But you see, there is a point. You know, the Bible does talk of sin not unto death and also sin unto death. And he says for those that have committed to sin unto death, not even to pray for them. That's when you're in bad shape. But that is not the norm. I want you to understand that. Realize. So he cuts these branches off that won't listen to him, that he can't touch, he can't help, no matter what he does. So these verses then highlight the importance of bearing fruit in the life of a believer. Branches do not produce fruit are removed, and those that do are pruned to enhance, or those that do produce are pruned to enhance their productivity. A believer is not actively lying out or living out their faith may experience spiritual stagnation. You know, I've seen a lot of people in churches that are kind of like that. It's like they're not excited about anything. Good things happen and they're like, yeah. You ever see people like that? I feel so sorry for them. See, they're still on the vine. But they're not getting the sunshine and the nourishment and stuff that they really need. It's like they stagnate. And so the thing is, about all we can do is really pray for them. I know there's a lot of churches that are filled with people like that. You know, they go to church and as soon as they leave, they go home and there's nothing more to do with God until the next Sunday. And the only reason they're going to church now is because their wives make them. That's with a lot of them. And it's so sad. So that's why we've got to get excited in the Lord. We've got to let him rejuvenate us. Let him prune us. Folks, be excited that somebody's caring for you. Amen? There's a lot of us, there's a lot of people that are hurting, and people don't want nothing to do with them. They avoid them. They avoid them. I don't want to mess with them. They always make me feel bad. Well, maybe God has called you to help, to try to minister to them. They've been soured. They don't see the hope and the blessings that you've seen and have received. We got to go to those people. They get soured. They get stagnant where they're at. While those who are engaged in ministry and service may find that God refines them through the challenges leading to greater efficiency. I think that's why our church here, I don't think anybody here is soured in any way. I see hope. I see eagerness. I see a desire. I was talking to a friend that called me from Missouri who was in our church, and her husband became a pastor. He's since died, and she's still in that church, and they all hate her, literally. Most of them have left now. She calls me, well, Jim, what am I to do? And I know Debbie. It's like Debbie's going to do what Debbie wants to do. So don't get excited. Just try to share and realize that she's probably not going to listen to or do a word you say. And that's true. She has health issues caused from all of this. I'm saying, Debbie, maybe try to go to another church just for a little. I'm not saying quit that one. I'm just saying maybe a time or two, go. She says, oh, yeah, I know one to go to. They really build me up. I'm excited there. You know, people are real friendly, and there's the pastor's real good. There's life in that church. I said, go for a couple of times anyway and get yourself built up. I said, you are a mess right now. And I said, you need that. You need to be built up. Yeah, she says, I know you're right. Yeah. Well, then she calls me the next day. She said, you know, my daughter told me that if I left that church, it would die. And God told me 2 years ago to stay there. And he hasn't told me to leave yet. So she said, I'm just going to stay. There's only four of them left. And it's like, what did God do through you the last 2 years in the church? What he's done is nothing, and the devil's used her to destroy the church there. So you understand, and I was telling her when I talked to her, I said, you don't know this church that we're going to now. I said, we don't have a lot of people there, but I said the fellowship is so good. People care for each other. And I said, you know, the strangest thing is this. I said, most of the time when I share something, I said, they do it. I said, go figure. Have you ever seen a church like that before? You know what I mean? And I'm talking to the biggest one who won't do what you tell her. But that's so different. I said, you've never seen anything like it. But I'm trying to encourage her. But she's not taking it. She loves the Lord. But I don't think God can do a whole lot with her. But anyway, I'm going to quit there. I pray that Debbie makes it through that. But I told her 2 years ago, I said, Debbie, that church is dead. Bury it. Oh, no, God spoke to me to stay. Okay. I hope that's really what you heard. And they were probably at maybe a dozen or so then, maybe a couple dozen, and now they're down to four. And she says, yeah, and the pastor's getting ready to leave too. But folks, let's do what God tells us to do. Let's let God lead us. Let's let him grow us that we can minister, whether we grow in number or not. That's not the issue. The issue is we want to minister. Amen? We want to touch lives and hearts of people. God's bringing them around us. So let's just get excited. Let's let our hearts burn for the Lord. Let him give us the knowledge that we need, the care, the ability to touch these lives that are so hurting. And let me ask you, if we don't do it, who will? Who will? God's given us the ability. He's called us. He's purposed us. Folks, we can do it. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. Bless your people. Father, place that burning ember in our hearts that would burn for you, Lord. That we realize and know and our minds would see that we have a purpose. We have a calling. And Lord, let us then desire to fulfill that for you. Lord, you're so good to us. And that's why we're so blessed here in this church. We will change the world. And they don't have to come here for us to do that. Lord, we'll go to them. Thank you for that opportunity. Lord, bless us now as we go. Change our hearts that need to be changed. Prune us, Lord, that we can bear more fruit for you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.